Heavenly gracious God, as we come before your holy presence, we ask your forgiveness for each and every known sin that's in our lives, be it words, thoughts, or actions. And we thank you for what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary for each one of us. We enter the message, we ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to take it and make it real. Make it real to the listeners. Make it real to that newborn believer of the household of faith. Make it real for the believer who's attempting to grow. Make it real for the watchman that's on the wall for the household of faith. As they look around today, not only in the United States, but globally, but specifically in the United States, that their eyes are open to what's going on and correlated to today's message. In Jesus' name, we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith. I'm Gary McCann. So, what is going to happen at dinner today? What's going to happen? Haman, he now goes to dinner. He's going to dinner with mixed feelings, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're just tuning in, then I would encourage you to take a moment in your time. It's on 24 hours, 7 days a week. Go back to the previous segments in the book of Esther. But Haman, he's excited that the queen has invited him, but he's confused by the way things have worked out. Think about it. He just spent the day with Mordecai, whom the king had at Haman's recommendation at that, ordered to be honored. Now, you already know Haman wanted to kill Mordecai, because he wouldn't bow to him when he was appointed number two by the king, you know, the leader. And we talked about it. Maybe that was you. You're being appointed by your leader. You got it going on, your chest all out, irrespective of your gender, irrespective of your skin tone, irrespective of your title. And this one man wouldn't bow to you, or maybe in your case, this lady didn't bow to you. And so as a result of, which we're talking about Mordecai, but her, if it's applicable, wherever her happens to be in your life, you wouldn't bow. They hated you. And not only did they hate you, they hated every person that's a part of your community, your race. There's only one human race, but your culture. And so they set out to conspire with others, but in this case, they went to the king. He ain't asked no questions. Do you, leader, do you ever ask any questions? Do you ever ascertain the motives of the people that you got around you? And God forbid you be a believer of the household of faith. You don't go on your knees and ask God, this person that's around me that's giving me this advice, what is their true motive? Reveal it to me. You don't think God's going to reveal it to you? He is. But old Mordecai, you know, he was hated along with his community, the Jewish community. Remember, Haman got the king to sign a document that couldn't be changed for everybody to be exterminated who happened to be Jewish, And Haman was so excited. You know, he ran home, told his wife, all in support. Even got to the degree, you know, he let her know and the family members, hey, he's been invited to a dinner. He's going to a dinner. The queen invited him to now. And a banquet. So his wife lets him know, Haman, you know, why don't you go ahead and build a, paraphrasing, a, you know, a gallows, you know, hang Mordecai on your way to the dinner. Well, build the gallows and let the king know, you know, the number one since you're number two. Just let him know. So here you got a night where the king couldn't sleep. Leader, have you ever wondered why you're not able to sleep? You ever wonder? What do you do about it? Well, this particular leader, the king, called for the law to be read to him. Believer, do you ever get up when you can't sleep and maybe open the Word of God? So here the laws are being read to the king, and he's learning. Wait a minute. He never did anything for the person that saved his life from two individuals who wanted to kill him. And so he wanted to do something for him after he learned he had never done anything for him. So he asked Haman, what should be done? And Haman, oh, you know, Haman thought it was him that was going to be honored. You know how you do. Believer of the household of faith. You know how you do, non-believer. You know how you do as humans, you humans. Come on now. Sin. Pride. So he does a recommendation that the person unknown to Haman was going to be Mordecai. Mordecai. He gave a recommendation to the king, and the king took him up on him and told him to do it. You know, like honor him, put on royal apparel, and walk him through the streets on the king's horse so that the people know what the king thought of him. Could you imagine at that time what Haman was thinking, though? And now the queen has invited him to dinner. You know he's got to be thinking, why is he being honored? Wouldn't you? But he's going to find out. So once again, Esther sat with the king and Haman at a meal, and the king asked her, you know, what's bothering you and how he could help? You know, king all sensitive. He should be. That's his wife. That's his other half. Again, Esther was nervous. She might not even known about Mordecai being honored that day and how Haman and her husband was involved. So here you got the king now. He turned the whole evening over to Esther. And really what he was saying is be comfortable and whatever you want, it's yours. And see, here you got Esther. Now think about it. She took that deep breath and began. She said something like, maybe it's something you would say. Is your life on the line? Oh, okay. But she said something like, you know, my request and my petition is this, please spare my life and my people. Now think about the lady in your life, the guy in your life, all of a sudden turning you leader. And unknowns to you, you were unaware, did it make any difference to you if you truly loved them? That they happen to be of a community that you just signed off on to your number two who persuaded you, and you ain't asked no questions, to kill them. And you're unaware that the lady in your life, the guy in your life, belonged to that community. That race, that culture. Now put yourself in the king's place. You know he had to be alarmed. And could you imagine what was going on in the mind of Haman? You know, normally that's where the battle takes place. Could you imagine what type of battle was going on in his mind? Could you imagine the type of battle going on in your mind? If you've been conspiring to hurt innocent people who have not done anything to you but be who they are. Haman didn't know that the queen was Jewish. You think he would have convince the king to do something. Y'all know now the word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He may have tried to conspire and do something against the queen. But here you got the king. The king is more than amazed. Think about it, with all these provinces over. Who would dare attempt to destroy his queen? And not only his queen, her people. Guess what? You know this is like a movie, but it's real. Like what's going on today around the globe in the United States with Israel. Israel, that's who we're talking about. Then Esther says something that was shocking. She said, if we'd been sold into slavery, I would have kept quiet. But we've actually been betrayed. And we're about to be destroyed as a people. And I'm included among them. Now, how would you feel if you were the king? Come on now, be real. Now, if you didn't care anything about your queen, okay. Well, then that'd be another thought or your king. But the king floated. Who would do this? Where is he? This is outrageous. Now, think about it as a side note. Remember now, the king never even bothered to ask Haman about the people that he proposed that they kill and take their property. Because you got to remember now, at this moment, the king, he ain't put two and two together. He just can't believe anybody would attempt to do something to the royal family. You got to remember, the human life was cheap to this king. Think about it. He had thousands of soldiers that died when he had that conflict against Europe. So it didn't bother him at all. Now it's close to home. You know what happens when things begin to get close to home? Don't you? Leader of all areas in society today, whether it's in your home, at your place of worship, out there in the community, be it in your village or your province or your local or state or medical, criminal justice, sociology, political, think about it. Do you remember how you've been until it was close to home? You got that title, don't you? Now it's close to home. But do you notice how God was moving behind the scenes? You notice how God was keeping watch over his own? You notice how God has made it clear in his word that no weapon formed against Israel would stand, including today. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Also in the follower of Jesus Christ's life as well. But we're talking about Israel. We're not talking about your country, your country, your country, your country, or mine. We're talking about Israel. Say what you want. Go back in biblical history. Go back in secular history. No matter what, no matter who, God is still looking out. So when the king asked who would, you know, dare do such a thing as this, you know what Esther did? Go on, Esther. Remember, because Esther, remember what Mordecai had said, you know? Hey, think about it. You know, do you think you're not a going to perish if everybody else dies? So here you got Esther. She pointed across the table, an enemy, an adversary, this evil Haman, believer of the household of faith. You know how that God, our loving God, you know, let me do a side note. You don't mind, do you? I attempt, because I don't have it going on, before going out the door, I ask God to please reveal to me who my enemies are, those two-legged enemies. It doesn't make a difference what the gender is. It doesn't make a difference what the skin tone is. It doesn't make a difference what the zip code, all of those things is. It doesn't make a difference. But I remember one time in my life, you know, God would reveal and I would just ignore it. I don't do that anymore. You know, if a person says they hate you, why are you running around telling them they like you? They made it clear, not only through their lips, but their shoes. Wake up, believer of the household of faith. Especially when they're doing it secretly. And then God allows them through their lips or their actions to show what they really think about you or your community. But when Esther said that, can you imagine how all the blood drained from Haman's face? You know he was scared to death. If you were Haman, wouldn't you be? Well, guess what? Wait a minute. Let's look at the queen's man, the king. Oh, you know, remember, he's number one. Oh, Haman, number two. The king was angry, but not only was he angry, guess what else? He was puzzled, wouldn't you be? He believed his queen. Why wouldn't he? Especially as she pled for her life. Think about it. Wouldn't you? This is your queen. And remember now the laws at that time. Think about it, the custom. If your queen comes before you, you did not put out the scepter, then she could have been killed. Remember how she came to him? And that's what led up to the invitation to the banquet and the dinner. But the king had to think this through. Think about it, because remember now, Haman was his trusted advisor. You know, his newfound buddy, his friend, number two in the kingdom. How about your advisor? How about the one you putting your all in all trust in? So you got the king. Think about it. Now. You think he just coolly, you know, C-O-O-L-Y. And you can put an E-Y there too, depending on how you're spelling it. So do you think that the king just coolly walked out into his palace garden? No, you know, human nature. He stomped out there. And he left old Haman there to plead for his life. Think about little old Haman now, all big in his temporary title. Remember now, everybody got a temporary title. How'd you get it, though? Here you got Haman. Remember, this is the guy who didn't care anything about others that he had put to death. Now he's groveling at Esther's feet like a slave. Now you got the king returning from the palace garden. He's going into the banquet hall. And here you got Haman right now pawing at Esther as she sat on the couch. Think about what's going on with Haman now. That battle's in their mind. He's now gone crazy. He's afraid. He doesn't realize what he's doing. It's not even funny. The king walks in right on time, and he's letting him know, we even molest the queen while I'm just around the corner. Think about it. Esther hadn't even yet called out for help, but she was scared. And with the king's yell, the servants, you know, they stand in guard. They had to step in. You know what they did next? They arrested Haman. What's going to happen to him? Well, let me take a sip of my water. I'm glad it's not me. Haman, one of the chamberlains had pointed out the window. Look, the gallows. Oh, y'all forgot about the gallows? Don't you remember the gallows that Haman's proud wife had recommended that he build? You know, the gallows, you know, the ones that was cubits high, 75 feet. You know, the one that Haman made for Mordecai. You know, the one who spoke good on the king's behalf is standing at the house of Haman. You know what the king said? Okay, well, turn to Esther chapter 7, verse 9. Do you know what he said? I know you can't wait to hear what the king said. What would you have said? Oh, dignified one, what would you have said? King said, hang him on it. You got to remember, Haman conspired to be in his temporary position and to be at dinner. And he's learning. You know what he's learning? Just like the individuals who's doing it today in the United States, in your country, or your country, or your country. You just can't mock God. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. So now Haman had his day. Think about it. You want to run around here and do evil against another person, a group, a community? Think about it. You can go against God's plan and purpose for you, but you're not going to defeat it. He's God. But guess what? Esther's story isn't over. What? Not over. Guess what? You're right. You already know what I'm going to say. You sure? No, you don't. Well, here it goes. Until the next time. Read ahead. What's going to happen next with Esther and God? Yes, God. But don't you remember? God's not even mentioned in the whole book of Esther. But don't you see his hand watching over his people? Don't you see his hand, believer of the household of faith, in your challenging trial? Persecution continues for followers of Jesus Christ. And for the children of Israel, don't you see his hand in your life? I do.
This keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up, fire. You to already see yourself out of the storm. The clouds will move. It's time for you to smile again. Come on, Sean.
I believe my family will get better. I believe God will provide.
God's already pre-approved you for it. Come on, Bacardi.
I believe that my God is a healer. Yes, he is. And I believe that I will survive.
Tells us that if any two of us shall agree on anything on earth, that God will do it for us in heaven. And I know sometimes life has a way of knocking you down to the point where you can't even pray for yourself. But today I want to agree with you that it's getting ready to get better. And right now we are giving your problem an expiration date, and we're saying it's over.
trusting him. Hang on in there. God told me to tell you it's gonna get better.
God's gonna do it.
You can't have it.
You can't
have it. You gotta give it to Jesus.
Give it to
him. Won't he work it out? If you believe in him.
Remember this.
Your storm is over. I believe. Your rain is gone away.
Clouds have moved.
I believe. You'll make it through it. Oh, I believe. Ooh, already done.
About your future.